So really, you know, lovely words, Caitlin. Thank you so much. Really glad to be back today. Excited to be preaching for NextGen Gen 26. And firstly, of course, thank you to Pastor Peter. Thank you to Breakthrough. Like what Caitlin was saying, I do not take those things for granted, where it's like the things that I've been doing, you know, and I've been, you know, as you know my story, I've been more than happy to be not seen, but it's like God has been working in those things. And so if you're someone that like, well, you see yourself getting to this point or a particular point, and maybe it's in front of people, I encourage you, keep going in the things that are doing unseen, which only God can see, because by doing those things and having that faithfulness, He prepares you in those things, even when you don't even know what you're preparing for. You don't have to you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to know about it yet. But God is still preparing you in those moments for when you step out, He's going to do it. And so that was a very quick introduction, and I realized we're a little bit later in time, and so but it works out because my introduction was going to be very, very quick anyway. Okay. Hi, I'm Josh. I've been at Breakthrough for most of my life. I'm often behind the scenes. You'll see me somewhere. If you want to know more, come and talk to me after the service. I promise I will not send you away. Done. Introduction done. Sorted. And so God has been, we're going to go right into it, all right? And God has been bringing me on a really cool journey, you know, for the last couple of years, but particularly started at the beginning of last year, 2025, when, you know, God was, He was developing a concept in me, and it's not a new concept, and we'll learn what that is, but He was developing a concept in me of what He's looking for, what He wants to do in our lives, and that He wants to use us in new ways and greater ways, okay? And so what you have known, what you could maybe expect, God says, all right, never mind that, put that aside, we're going higher, we're going to do greater things. And God has a desire to do greater things in your life. And so the thing is that we as people, as humans, you know, I get it, we sometimes, you know, even if it's coming from a place of insecurity, we love to, not love, but it's like we don't mind having this limitation on. And then the greater, but we still desire the greater things. But the person that's most qualified, or the person that's the best speaker, or the person that is the most anointed, it's okay because they're the person that's going to do it. You know, I had that mindset for a long time. You know, and you know my story. Go back and read my messages. But God is looking for people that He wants to show up in their lives in new ways and greater ways. Okay, and so what I want today, we're going to learn what that means. And I want you to want that. I want you to be that person today. Because a life that God is doing greater things, there's no limitations on that. And it is fun. It is exciting. It is exhilarating. It's not whatever you think that's what the package looks like and this is what that they do. Don't get those things away. Because God is a good God, He's a fun God, He's an exciting God, and He has such powerful and big things, mighty things that He wants to do, and He's looking for people that want that. He's looking for people that want that, that want to step up. It's not the most anointed person, as I said, it's not, you know, it's just like, and so many times in the Bible, people that stepped up, whether they were called or whether they put their hand up, they were not these people. Sometimes they were. You know, it's true. God uses you in your strength, and He's given you His strength, your strengths, for a reason. But so much in me, He's working in my weakness, okay? And so, church, are you ready to step beyond your world today, okay? Now, look, your world, firstly, I will say a disclaimer. I'll be referencing two, you know, going back and forth between two places. One of those places is your world. And I'll be saying some things. But in no way am I saying your world is bad. In no way am I saying that you're not in faith or it's not the right faith. I'm not saying those things. So you just have to, as I go forward and explain these things, you just have to see the heart in that, okay? So in no way, because your world is important. Your world is, you know, it's for us, it's at Breakthrough, it's church, it's your workplace, it's your family, it's your friends, it's... you know, activities, all these things that you do, all these things that you like doing that make up your world, okay? And God works in your world. So I just want to make that distinction that when I say different things, I'm not saying that it's wrong or that it's bad, okay? So, but God, when he wants to, but your world can also be a safety net, all right? Plenty of things to hide behind in your world, okay? But it can be even a safety net where you can have good intentions and you want to see God work in your life. You want to be pleasing to God. You want to be obedient. You want to be in faith. You want to do all those things. And you want to go and do the greater things, but you want to do it in your world. And that's, you know, and that's not wrong because God works in your world. But he, it's this concept that he's been developing in me. We put this up, what it means to be a kingdom trailblazer. All right? God is looking for people who want to, who, he wants them to step out of their world so that he can show himself strong on their behalf, so that he can raise the roof, raise the limits on what they've experienced and what they can do. God is looking for this. And the thing with your world is that he wants to transform your world. So your world, it's not something that you step out of your world and you leave your world behind, because there's work in the world, there's ministry and callings in your world, but then there's also more further beyond. And so God was developing, and actually let's go to the first scripture. Oh, and stick around, because I'm going to give you three things at the end that you will can do today to be a kingdom trailblazer. Shout out to my life group. Over 2025, we had a life group, and we're, you know, still that life group. So all of our Kingdom Trailblazers are in the house today. Shout out to you guys. You're awesome. And so stick around. I'll give you three things. But let's go to the first scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9. Now, this is actually where we left off if you were here last year when I spoke. And so let's, I think I actually put the wrong one. So read off the screen here. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And so in the one that I've written here, it's that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. So that's someone who is loyal to him, someone whose heart is completely his. And so we said at the end of last year that does not mean that you're a perfect person. It doesn't mean you got it all together. It just means that your spirit man, your heart, is all of God's. And that's all that he needs, and he works the other stuff out. But and I kept reading this scripture. I kept just reading this back and forth. As I was preparing yesterday, I was actually finished my message, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, but God started speaking to me at 12 a.m. last night, and he didn't let me get to sleep. And so I was reading, you know when I, because I've been here a long time, Pastor Christine would say, the Lord woke me up in the morning, early in the morning. Well, the Lord didn't let me go to sleep. I think I slept about 4. Have pity on me. That's what I wanted. No, I'm all good. I had a coffee. It's fine. But, because I didn't understand what, but I knew, but God was, he wanted to give me a revelation. He wanted to give something to me. And so this scripture, can we put the scripture back up? So we see to and fro. So we said last time that it's like God is going from one point to another and back, okay? And looking for people whose heart is perfect towards him, who are loyal to him. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe in the time when you gave that scripture, maybe there wasn't that many, but, you know, the word is applicable today. And I'm like, God, there's so many faithful people today. Breakthrough's so faithful. You know we're here. Why are you going from one point to another and back looking for people that are yours? It's like, we are here. And so I didn't understand it. And it was just keep reading that scripture. And I'm like, all right, so you want to reveal something to me. And I'll be honest, I don't even know if I'm necessarily correct in this, but this is what settled in my spirit when it was revealed to me. Because other translations will say roaming across the earth. But what I see, well, what I believe that God revealed to me in this scripture, that there is a place, and this is all going to tie into trailblazing soon, this is the foundation that we need to lay, that Trailblazers, this is where they work from. There is a place, you know, so let's just say here to here, you know, just what does, where God inhabits, and he's going back to and fro looking for people whose heart are perfect towards him, a people who are loyal to him, okay? And so, of course, we're faithful. Of course, we're faithful. And he's, because he wants to do greater things in you, he wants to take you to the next level. He wants to increase you. And in your world, where the safety net is, where God does, and this is what I said before about the world and now this place. So hear what I'm saying in this, okay? So you're still faithful in your world. You're still active in your world. I'm not saying you're not doing those things, but there is a place where God wants to do greater things, okay? But you, as a trailblazer, we have to step out of our world, okay? It's not God, and God is a good God that he does everything he possibly can, that in whatever situation you're in, whether you choose to stay there or whatever, he's trying to get what he can to you at whatever level at every time. God's just so good like that. And I know that because I think of the example of when Reverend Jesse Duplantis spoke about his, when he gave his heart to the Lord. I forgot who the person was, but he just said, what they said, that's what I mean. And God took that as his, you know what I mean? So God wasn't like, well, actually, we've got to make sure your theology is in line. You've said this specific word. God was like, no, that's fine. I see the heart. I know what you mean. I receive that. You're in my kingdom. And so it's like that sort of thing. But with like, when it's like faith, even if we're not always perfect, and we're not, God is doing absolutely everything he can to get, you know, to get the rewards of your faith. And so, but there's this place, okay? And so this is actually, this is going to be someone's answer today, that you, okay, so you're in faith, you're in your world and you're in faith. Great, that's really good. But you're, I don't know, I had this sense, you're striving in your faith, okay? You're striving in your faith, and until you step out of your world and into a place where God is, he's inhabiting this place where he's looking for someone that he can take higher to do greater things. And in your world, your faith has been good and it's been active and it's been working, but you've been striving in faith. And when you step into here, it becomes the adventure in faith. What's, you know, the apostle of this house, you know, the adventures in faith. I always wondered, you know, when I'd see that, and it just shows that I didn't fully understand it. How do you have an experience or a relationship with God where faith was an adventure for you? I'm just trying to stay above water here, that I'm not working in my faith, you know. But he had this revelation. He knew the key that if he was not in his world, if he actually steps out of his world, but he steps into where God is inhabiting, and he takes him higher, and all of a sudden, it's still the same faith, but all of a sudden, it's an adventure in faith. And so trailblazers, they adventure in faith, okay? It goes from being a work, it goes from being, I don't need to say that, because you know what I mean. We've all been there. We've all done that. Trailblazers are adventurers in faith. And you know, whenever you step out of something and into something else, as, you know, as we'll discover soon, often we think the hardest, you know, sometimes, so I shouldn't say often, but sometimes we think the hardest part is what we're stepping into. But in my experience, the hardest part has been stepping out of what I was in. Because that's where I was comfortable. That's where I was okay. That's where I was happy to stay. And like I think back to, you know, the three times I've been able to speak here now. If I can honestly tell you, you know, and because I never wanted to be in front of people, the hardest part was stepping up to the stage here, and then opening my mouth, and it's downhill from there. Okay, it doesn't matter if you make a mistake. Who cares? I don't. Do you care if I make a mistake? Shut up. Can't stand on stage. I just did. So that's the hardest thing. And so, but stepping out of your world. But as soon as you step into a place where, and as I keep saying, God is in your world, but he's over here where he wants to do something more in your life. He wants to do something greater in your life. He doesn't want you striving in faith. He wants it to be an adventure in faith for you. And so that's what we're doing today. So we're going to be people that God is looking for, that God wants to show up in their life, someone that he wants to use in a new and greater way, okay, and go beyond. And last year, at the very end, God was speaking to me and we were praying as a life group, and he was saying that there are things that are in this space, rewards, assignments, good things that God has, that he needs someone to step out of their world and to step into here and take it back into their world. And so this is the space where a trailblazer operates, okay? This is the space where a trailblazer operates. So they're not striving, they're stepping out. And in that same scripture we read, that also says that his strong right hand, or in some of the translations, his strong right hand will support you. He's looking for people who he wants to strongly support or lift up and use in ways that they've not imagined, that they've not seen, all right? And so that's what a trailblazer does. They're a person that's willing to step out of their world, because as long as you stay in your world, there is that safety net or that blanket or that, the known world, essentially, all right? And so that's what a trailblazer does. They're a person that follows God, follows the heart of Jesus, and they're willing to step out and they're willing to step in where God would lead them. Before we discover what a trailblazer is, we need to know what a kingdom trailblazer isn't. Very, very important, because I know how my brain has worked in the past and what I've thought. So when I say this, I'm not thinking of anyone. I'm exhibit A in everything. Okay? A, B, C, D, I'm all of them. But a kingdom trailblazer, and I've started on this, but a kingdom trailblazer is not someone who is perfect. A kingdom trailblazer is not someone who has it all together, and it's not someone who is the best of the best. It's not an exclusive club. Anyone can join. You just need to put your hand up. Whether you're called or put your hand up, doesn't matter. Okay? It's not part of the fivefold ministry, but it sort of works in a similar way where, you know, if I was believing God at his word and I was, you know, ministering to people left, right and center and saving them, I wouldn't need the fivefold ministry. I wouldn't need Pastor Peter to speak to me every Sunday. But guess what I do? Guess what you do too? And trailblazing is the same way. That if everyone was doing this, we'd all be trailblazers, and then none of us would be trailblazers because we're all just doing it. And so it works the same way. But trailblazers, they are in fivefold ministry, but they're also you and me. They're also, what have we got? Students, business owners, fathers, mothers, brothers, you know. Trailblazers are everyone that would put their hand up. So whatever limitations you think you have, you need to change your perspective. You need to get God's perspective, okay? And so we've read the scripture. So we know what God is looking for. You know, someone who he's roaming throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And what would be an example of a trailblazer? A person, you know, someone we can say, okay, this person's a trailblazer. I think of the apostle of our house, Dr. Jerry Savelle. He stepped out of his world. He stepped into a space that where God inhabits. God's in your world, but God's also here. And he stepped into this place, and then he had such a life of favor that when he stepped out of this place of God, which is higher up, and he stepped back into his world, he transformed his world. And what was he known as? He was known as, you know, multiple names, but the one that the Lord gave reminded me of was, you know, he was Dr. Favor. And so when you step out of your world and you go higher into a place where God inhabits, because only this is the place where trailblazers go, because not everyone's going to make that decision. It would be amazing if we all did. It would be amazing. But not everyone is going to do that. And so God is looking across the earth. He's looking for people whose heart is all his. He knows where all the faithful are, but he also needs someone who's willing to step out. And so when he stepped out, and God goes, yep, I see that. Your heart is all mine. I'm now going to do greater things in you. And so, and now when you go back into your world, you're Dr. Favor. Paul, he was literally on the road to Damascus. He was literally plucked from his world. And I believe he was taken into like a space where God inhabits. And it's, and then when he went back into his world, you know, I believe that he spent, you know, all of his life going back there. And because what marked his life was the supernatural divine revelation that Paul did, that where he wrote, you know, most of the New Testament. You know how we have the New Testament and it's awesome and we love it. He got, when he wrote it, you know what? He only had the Old Testament. He didn't have the New Testament to go, this is what I think God's doing. He wrote the New Testament. So he got such divine knowledge and revelation from God because he was, you know, God, as I said, pulled him out of his world into this place where God called him up higher, gave him a purpose. And then he transformed his world and literally the world. And so Paul was a trailblazer. Dr. Jerry Savelle was a trailblazer, okay? And so we know what Trailblazer does. We know, you know, a couple of examples. And so, but a definition is a person who is the first to do something, an innovator, or a person who makes a new track through wild country. Excuse me a moment. Mouth is getting dry here. So with a trailblazer, the idea is someone has to go first, okay? One more. I'm getting a sign on the screen. And so with the idea, someone has to go first. Do we have any guesses who might be the trailblazer? Don't have to guess. I'll tell you. All right. That's Jesus. He is literally the trailblazer. You know, when he went, you know, we were all sinners. We were separated from God, disconnected. I mean, only he could go to the cross. Sin, you know, he lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law. He didn't sin, and he took your sin upon him. And then with that exchange, if you believe in him, his righteousness is on your account. The righteousness of Jesus is on your account, all right? And so he did that because no one could do that, okay? No one can do that. And so, and this is in Hebrews 2:12, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so that word pioneer there, it's not exactly the same as trailblazer, but it, like innovator, pioneer, trailblazer, it very heavily overlapped. You know, actually, it pretty much is. Same thing I'll say. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set out for him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God. And so, like, a pioneer is like the first to explore. So he's the first, he's the initiator of our faith and the perfecter. Okay? And so because of Jesus and as followers of Jesus, kingdom trailblazers pave a path through territory others have never reached or even considered. Trailblazers follow the heart of Jesus with intention and purpose. And just before Hebrews 12, we have this amazing chapter, you know, Hebrews 11, where it's like the heroes of faith chapter, all trailblazers. If they were in the Word, I said again, you know, they were called or they put their hand up and they're in the Word. They're a trailblazer. They went before and they did something, you know, so that other people could also go, so that other people believed that they could go. But I love how the message says that scripture we just read, and it also adds the scripture before and after it. And so this is in the Message translation. So Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus who began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in a place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. You know, I can't read that scripture and be like, get excited, people. Get excited. Jesus has done, he has gone before you. He has made the way. And now his spirit is within you. And so you have everything you need. And so don't be down in the dumps. Don't be sad that you're not perfect. Don't be sad. That's a good message. You know, what did Josh say? He said, don't be sad, okay? Come on, don't be sad. So we're reading this passage. We begin to see, you know, what a true what a true trailblazer looks like. And we begin to see, you know, the values of a trailblazer or the core mission of a trailblazer. And so these are just four things that God gave me, you know, defines a trailblazer in multiple ways, what they do, what they are, where they go. It's not the definitive list. It's just what God's been working in my heart. And so the core mission, they go before and they take ground, all right? Number two, they overcome opposition, all right? And that, where does that happen? That happens in that scripture we read at the start, 2 Chronicles 16:9, where God wants to strongly support you and your life because your heart is loyal to him. It's all him. And so when you you go and take new ground, you do a new thing because you believe God. And when opposition comes, you overcome those oppositions. Not because of you, but because of him, okay? Because of his strong right hand. He wants to strongly support you. So they overcome opposition. Number three, they bring others along. This is the cool thing, all right? And this is the important thing. Because some people, like going back to what I said before, it would be great if we all made these decisions. And so, but that's just not how it's the case. That's why I need Pastor Peter to preach to me every Sunday, okay? And so a trailblazer, they bring other people along. And number four, and they're faithful, okay? And so some trailblazers, they go first so that others can go and be blessed as well. There's two types that I say. Again, it's not a definitive list. It's just two things that would define trailblazers that God has given me. So some trailblazers are firsts, okay? They go so that others can go and be blessed. And then some trailblazers are the greatest, so that others can believe that they can do it, and they do it too, okay? And this could be, and sometimes, you know, it can be times like this where we're doing all the right things, we're in faith, but still sometimes we want to compare ourselves to other people, okay? You know, it's fine. But you as a trailblazer, what God wants to do with you and how he wants you to step out and where he wants you to make new ground, it's whether you're just the first or whether you're the greatest. Why not? You know, I say be both. You know, I say don't limit it. And God's the one that works all that out anyway. But, you know, it's not a thing where you compare, because trailblazers, they bring other people along. And it's the really cool part about this is that when we are trailblazers and we're trailblazers together and we're bringing other people along, I receive the benefit of what other trailblazers are doing. Even though they're blazing their paths, their trails, they're going their way where God is leading them, okay? And essentially they've done the work, but I'm a benefactor because I go along with them, that they bring me along. I'm a benefactor of that. Just as what I do, the trails I blaze, the paths I go, the paths that God makes with me, I bring you along, and you are the benefit of that, okay? And so at Trailblazers, we work together, we bring people along, we go together, okay? And so I love that. And then it's like, you know, if someone did do greater things, I'd be like, awesome, great. I'm right there with you, okay? And so they bring others along, and they're faithful. Trailblazers are faithful. This is where it's like, you know, there's not, you know, one faith and another faith. Faith is faith. But as I said, I've known the Lewis family for quite a long time, and so I'd often be, you know, at their place spending, you know, celebrating birthdays with the family. And every year they like to do this thing where they'll go around the table. They were wondering, firstly, before that a few of them were wondering, who would I humiliate? Who would I single out? You know, why not everyone? No, but anyway, so that you go around the table, okay, and whoever's birthday it was, they would say a good thing, often a spiritual thing, pretty much always a spiritual thing. They'd say a nice thing about them. And sure enough, it's the same thing every year. And you know what? You know what? The first person, every time, without fail, and I think they know this, they say all the things. You're faithful, you're good looking, you're amazing, you're the best, you're so good. All the things you say that you don't mean, all the things that you would never say any other day. But on your birthday, you get this. But that's not so much the point. That's just funny. But you know, I love it. I think it's amazing. I think you should do it as well. But the first person, and you know what? You know what the first person always says? You are faithful. Cameron knows. Cameron knows where I'm going. So they say, you're faithful. And I think it was a couple of years ago. I think was it Brooke's birthday? Yep. This is good for Brooke. So normally I'm making fun of her, but this is actually good for Brooke. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait a second. We're all faithful here. To be a Christian, you have to have faith. What entry-level, run-of-the-mill faith? What is this? So I'm like, oh, I've had enough of this. I'm like, Brooke, you've got special faith. That's it. Take that as you will. And it was funny that God reminded me of that. And I'm like, so I'm coining that for a trailblazer. You remember what I said before? Faith is faith. I'm not introducing new doctrine here, because I wouldn't. I'm not going to do that. But trailblazers, they have special faith. Now, what is special faith? Because we know that there's faith when, like, all right, you believe, you say the word, you sow a seed, and oftentimes that faith is always active, always happening, and it's like you've done what you need to do. Now God will do his part and will bring it to pass. And so there is that faith that's always, trailblazers are always doing that. It's always active in that way. But special faith, what is special faith? That is a faith that meets God where he is at, okay? And so that when we go back to this place here where God is inhabiting a particular space here, and it's not that you're not faithful, but trailblazers have a special faith. You can go away and say, I have a special faith. Stop making a joke about that. It's faith. But they have a faith that meets God where he is at, okay? And because that's what, when there's a faith that, and specifically with a trailblazer who making paths, going through wild country, making a new track, that is not a faith where you can be, oh, wait here, God will make the path. Trailblazer, there's the path, I go. That's actually like, you know, you take this step, or, you know, you cut this away, or, you know, whatever it looks like. Because I see where God is. I see a space where he's inhabiting, that he's looking, where he can elevate and show his strong right hand for me. And so I have to have a faith that is meeting God as well where he's at. Okay. And so we've seen that they go before they take ground, they overcome opposition, they bring others along, they're faithful. But you know, I couldn't say all these things. I wouldn't be doing the message justice if I said to you that as a trailblazer, there is a cost. All right, and if I just said, don't worry about that, it's all good, I wouldn't be doing the right thing by it, okay? There is a cost, okay? And so this brings us to the part where it's not always the most popular, but actually I think the more I've looked at, you know, what is the cost, the more I've actually been excited about it, okay? And so we as humans, we like to take the path of least resistance. You know, that's literally what everyone does. And, you know, not all the time, but a lot of the time, being a kingdom trailblazer, that's going to fly in the face of that, okay? And so what does the cost look like? Well, it's a little different for everyone. But before we do that, let's look at it in the Word, okay? And this is in that chapter I mentioned before, Hebrews 11, the Heroes of Faith chapter. And here we are with Abraham. And so at the very start, so this is Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. At the very start, we see it's going to take faith. And when I say, you know, cost, it's not always like a, because faith is not negative. the cost is not always, you know, a negative thing. But you see, it takes faith, okay? Plenty of people were happy just to sit by and let things happen, all right? But what did Abraham, let's read. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. And he went out without understanding where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the promised land, and as though it were a foreign country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with firm foundations, whose architect and builder was God. And so I like that very start. By faith, Abraham obeyed. It takes faith, and it's going to take obedience, okay? That was part of the cost there. And I even like what it says. He went without understanding where he was going. When we think of Abraham, or at least for myself, we often think of, you know, the promised son, Isaac, and all that he went through with that, that happened at an old age. But this is actually, you know, back before that, where he was told, you know, leave your father's place, take your stuff and go. And so he had faith and he obeyed, and he even went without understanding. And it's interesting with Abraham, this was a cost that was, you know, specifically for him, I believe, you know, maybe it's in other places as well, but he didn't get to see the full fulfillment of the promise because God's promise included his descendants, okay? And so Abraham went into this space. He had faith and he obeyed, and God did so many awesome things through him, and you know, because he's known as the father of faith. But he also did it knowing that he wouldn't experience the full fulfillment of the promise, okay? And that was a cost for him. So there's a reason he's known as the father of faith. But don't worry, because he was fine, because it says that he was looking towards heaven in that last part, you know, for he was looking forward to the city with firm foundations, whose architect and builder was God. And it's interesting, I think that whenever a trailblazer has inhabited the space where God, you know, is going to and fro, back and fro, I just mixed that up, you know what I mean, to and fro, back and forth, one spot to another. When you go here, I believe that you actually, because you're closer to God in what He's doing, and I believe that it changes your perspective where you become more heaven focused or heaven minded. And so when Abraham, Paul did the same thing, you know, he would step into this place, he'd have all this amazing revelation, he'd be teaching and training and writing the New Testament, and sometimes it was like, is it time to go? No, not yet, still got things to do, you know. So every time they've inhabited this space where God is wanting to do greater things, it's changed their perspective. They've become more heaven-minded. So Abraham was looking, so he was fine, he was cool, because he knew where he was going, okay? And I wonder, like, this is my own speculation. you know, Enoch, where God just took him up. Did he keep going back here so many times where it's like, Enoch, you got to go back to your world, transform your world. I like being here, God. All right, let's go. Did, you know, I don't know. That's my own sort of thought. It's of no relevance to this message, but no, don't do that. Stay here. Don't. No, you can if you really want, but good luck to you. Try it. Let me know if it works out. Come back and tell me if you can. I don't know. Because then I'll do it too. I'm done with you. No, I'm just kidding. Whenever a trailblazer or a person has inhabited this space, God has taken them higher and they've also become more heaven-minded. They've become more heaven-focused. And so I don't say this as a warning, but it's more like as a trailblazer, if you're going to do this, you need to know what you're getting into. You know, I'll no longer, if I go here and then back into my world and transform it, I'll no longer, because I'll be more heaven-minded, heaven-focused, you know the little games that we like to play in the flesh? Just whatever, it could be anything. It's like, you're no longer going to be able to play those games because God's got a hold of you and you're now heaven-minded and you're now seeing, I see this situation in a new light. I see this path. I see this trail. And I, you know, I'm not going to, insecurity, what? If you get in this space, right, and you do, and you're looking more to heaven, you know, while you're trailblazing, those things that you could afford to do before, you can no longer afford to do. But it's fine because I believe that when you're in that space, you don't want to, or you can't do those things even. It's like the effect is like not there anymore because you've entered a place where it is different from before. All right, and you read further down, and so he was heaven bound. And what do trailblazers do? We read in Hebrews 11, 33-36, through faith they conquered kingdoms. Well, firstly, that was another cost that that God gave me. And it's not that's a great cost. But that cost meant that you're more heavenly minded, you're more heavenly focused. So if you like playing those games or you're not sure, don't go there yet, you know. Go there when you know that you want that, but it is an awesome place. Let's go there. All right. Through faith, this is Hebrews 11, 33-36. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength in weakness, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to flight, and women received back their dead, raised to life. And that was the good stuff. And now look at this. But others were tortured, not accepting release to obtain resurrection to a better life. And others experienced mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. Now, we won't keep reading that because there's actually more there and it gets far more graphic. Go and do that if you'd like. And so those trailblazers, and look, praise God, that was, you know, in this day and age, in this time, that is not our cost. No one's going to die. I'm not saying that. But those trailblazers, when they stepped into that space where God's inhabiting, when it's outside of their world, they were willing to take the cost. And you know what? No one probably, if they didn't want to have that cost, they didn't have to do it. And you know, maybe we would have had a lot more Jonah type stories. But somewhere along the way, they get in this space and they're now more heaven bound, and it's like, oh, but the cost is, that's fine, you know, even to the point of losing life. They decided they were good with that because they could see where they were going, all right. And so, it really puts it in perspective for me when a cost for me, or you know, has been simply stepping out in front of people. I'm very far down the hill now, people. It's fine. You know, when I said the hardest part was stepping up, opening, starting to speak. This is good. And so it's like what I've had to do is feels like it hasn't even been a cost anymore, and it's been really fun. All right. And you know, as I was preparing, you know, this message a little while ago, God reminded me of two decisions I made probably 10 plus years ago, which were a cost to me. I was, you know, a little while, you know, a long time ago now, I was going through a situation where some close, you know, friends of mine, they had made some decisions, and you know, godly friends, but they had made some decisions that affected their faith and then eventually even affected their desire to be in church, okay? And so I had to work through that. But out of that, actually, I made two decisions, which I never actually thought about it or remembered it since, but God brought it back to me, this week, where even before I understood or knew the concept of trailblazing, He was already doing things in my heart where it was, you know, the cost of being a trailblazer, the two costs that I did. And, you know, they weren't actually grand costs, but they were powerful. And so the first one was that whether right or wrong, God, I always want to be where You are. I always want to be where Your heart is. I look at what they were doing and I'm like, I think they are wrong, but I won't focus on that. God, I see that, and whether either right or wrong, I want to be where You are. You know, I want to be real and authentic with You, God. And the other decision was that wherever He is or whether He's going, that's also where I want to be. So that meant that I'm always at church. I love being in His presence. I will always desire to be in, active in His kingdom in whatever way that looks like. It meant that I would support friends if it was ministry. Hey, it also meant that I went to football games. I ended up having a lot of fun because of that decision. So it's like, it wasn't just like spiritual things. It's like, I made this decision. If that's where the people of God are, in my friends, you know, my church, that's also where I'm going to be. And so it was two very easy decisions. I'm now a proper Collingwood supporter. I can't watch their games. I have to, because I want them to win. I still revert straight back to after if they've lost. I'm like, I don't care anymore. I go there very quickly, but until then, it's not good. They have to win. Okay, they have to win. And so they weren't big decisions, but they were quite little, but they were very powerful, and they've actually affected and shaped how I've pathed, where I've gone, what I've done. And I can remember countless times where I wasn't thinking about that decision. I said, oh no, I'm not going to go. I'm actually pretty tired. Oh, I've just been through this. And I decided within myself, and it was totally fine. It wasn't like this is not church. It was something else. I said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. It's fine. It's all good. You know, I've been to 99 of them. It doesn't matter if I go to the 100th. And I said, no, I'm not going to go. You know what? I just ended up going. And I've done that so many times when it's like, no, I'm not feeling it. I am tired, or, you know, I got to prepare this, or I got to do that. I'm not going to go. Every time. I've gone every time. There's not been a time where I haven't gone. And it was almost like I couldn't not go. It was like, even though I'd tell myself, try to convince myself it's fine, it's all good, and it was fine. It really was. But every time I found myself going, and because I hadn't made them as promises. I believe if I had made them as promises, as we sometimes do, I promise that God will be better, or do this from now on, I think there would have been absolutely zero power in it. And but because it was a genuine desire of my life, I think that God worked with that. And it was like, even when I totally forgot about those decisions and I didn't even know that those decisions were actually guiding me, it's like I go to these things. So I support my friends. I'm in the kingdom. I go to church. I love being here, okay? And so that's really been such a little cost. And again, being in front of you guys, it's nothing, all right? And the thing with the cost is that we as humans, we only really like to show, if we have to show, we like to show our good side or our strengths. All right. And it's really cool that what was just a cost for me, God has given it back to me in a slowly building strength, okay? And it's also really fun. I've said it before, I never ever want to go back. And so I'll step up here as many times as I have to. He's given that back to me. There was something that when I was talking to Pastor Peter, you know, about the cost, and he was showing me something that he was working through, working on, you know, and he and this scripture popped up, and so this is Matthew 13:44-46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field that a person found and hid. Then, because of the joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he found a pearl of great value, he went out and sold everything he had and bought it. And he said, Pastor Peter used this example to me, and it was, we don't put a money value on the kingdom of heaven, but if you were to get a ticket that was worth $1 billion, okay, and you could have that ticket, but all you had to do was sell absolutely everything that you have, would that, you know, unless you're already a multi-billionaire, but, you know, no one's that, okay? It's like, oh, yeah, you're going to have to sell the house. Oh, yeah, take it. Yeah, that's fine. The car. The car as well. Can I have the ticket? Or you're also going to have to sell the second car. Oh, I didn't realize I still had it. You know, take the second car as well. When it's like the perspective of what you're gaining, okay, when the cost is like, it's not a cost because I see what I'm gaining, okay? I see God, what you want to do in my life. I see where you want to take me, that you want to blaze trails and you want me to take ground where no one has been before or no one's thought they could get to, or you want me to be the greatest so that someone sees that and then thinks, yeah, I can do that too. I can go there too, all right? And so, as I said when I started this, the cost will be different for everyone, and the cost has been fine for me. So, I don't worry about the cost. God will work that out. Don't worry about blazing the paths you have to blaze. God will work that out too. All right. And so, what are three things that you can do today to be a kingdom trailblazer? First one, have a heart that is sold out for Him. Two, be willing to step out of your world. And I changed this in the last minute. Can you go to the third one, please? Trailblazers, adventure, and faith. When you step out of your world, you know, if you've ever strived in your faith and you step into this place where God is inhabiting, and then He lifts you up, you become heaven-focused, and then that becomes like what Dr. Jerry Savelle, you know, started with the magazines. It becomes an adventure in faith. And then all of a sudden, things that were unattainable, things that were unbelievable, things that you could never see yourself doing, I'm not striving to get this. This is an adventure. This is trailblazing in the kingdom of God, and He's taking me here, and He's doing these things, and I'm heaven-focused, and I'm heaven-bound. But I'm not going there yet. And in the meantime, God will use you mightily for His kingdom. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. So that's what a trailblazer is. You know, we've really only scratched the surface of it, but do you desire to be a trailblazer today, church? If anyone, you know, no pressure whatsoever, but if you'd like to, I'd love to pray for you. If we've got any new trailblazers here today, or if we've got any existing trailblazers, I'd love to pray for you. Don't have to. I'll leave it up to you. No worries either way. But maybe we could, you know, sing a song and just worship God just for a moment. I know it's late. I'll turn it to Pastor Christine if she wants to. Sorry, Pastor Caitlin if she wants to release the church. And so, I'm happy either way, but if you'd like prayer, I'd love to pray for you. But thank you so much, church.